thanks for sticking around for the talk. So I work for Lab49. We're a design, technology, and business strategy consulting here in the city. And we specialize in capital markets. And they also run Semantic Web London Meetup. So that's the logo at the top. You can look us up. We try and do it reasonably regularly, probably about once a quarter. So look us up on the meetup.com. Welcome to join. So model-driven machine executable regulation and discoverability of regulatory rulebooks. So what I'm going to talk about is I'll cover a bit of a background, draw some parallels between linked data and regulatory rulebooks, and then we'll try and define some metrics that will actually help us hopefully push for change. So in terms of my background, it's software engineering. So I'm a software engineer. I've been involved in multiple regulatory compliance projects with our clients. And over the past 2 years, I noticed that model-driven machine executable regulation was sort of becoming a particular interest of regulators and regulated firms alike. I think before we dive into the details, take a step back, you know, why regulation, why does it exist, right? So it's to counteract either some information friction or some externalities, right? And if we look at types of regulation, there would be laws, there would be some administrative rules, or there would be court cases, for example. And so if you look at how law changes happen now, so let's say we pick latest financial regulation, you know, MiFID II, well, maybe a question of how much that would be considered latest. What happens is new law is published, new rule book is published. Lawyers try and pick it apart. Business analysts descend on it and they write some specifications for the developers to implement into their systems. It gets coded, and then sometime later, sometimes, you know, years later, regulators start getting their, you know, new reports, new monitoring data. And what we probably want to happen in ideal world, right, is regulators publish their rule books in some machine-readable, machine-executable even way. It gets executed and they get, you know, the benefits of regulation a lot sooner. Because right now it's taking enormous cost for the industry to implement any regulation. It's not timely, and the quality of the data that regulators receive is actually questionable. So model-driven, machine-executable regulation will hopefully, you know, one day address it. But ultimately, it's a very heavy lift to actually implement it. And we believe that initial steps of actually making regulatory rule books navigable, understandable, machine readable will deliver a lot of, you know, a lot of benefit for not a lot of cost. So these initial steps of making contents of the rule books, you know, machine readable, there's a lot of parallels that I think we can draw between discoverability of data and some of the W3C semantic web and linked data standards and publication of the rulebooks. So what I'm actually going to do next is look at the linked data standards very briefly, look at the kinds of metrics they use. We'll look at one example as well, and then see what metrics will be useful looking at regulatory rulebook publishing. And I'll use example of financial regulation because that's what I'm mostly familiar with. So let's start with discoverability of data on the web. So there's a huge amount of standards, right? So W3C publishes a lot of standards, RDF, RDFS, OWL, Sparkle. Actually, just to make sure I'm talking to the audience that understand. Familiarity with RDF. Oh, great. Okay. So I'll keep explaining what it is. So there's RDF, RDFS, OWL, and Sparkle standards. There's existing metadata standards that we all sort of know and love. There's Dublin Core, there's SCOS. And there's some newer ones that's, you know, coming out. CSVW is W3C draft, actually, at the moment, to help understand structure of the tabular data on the web. And then DCAT is data catalog standard. So allows you to link your data sets to SCOS concepts and so on. And so so I'm sure everyone familiar with this image, right? So really it's a very simple metric that would help you to understand, you know, how well are you doing in terms of linking your data, making it discoverable. So 5-star linked data, well, let's just talk about it briefly. 1-star is your data is on the web, PDF, scanned image of a table, whatever it is. 2 stars, it's in some sort of structured format, perhaps Excel. 3 stars is it's in non-proprietary structured format. I think the important thing to say is that it's with an open license, right? So it's 5 star linked open data. So 4 stars is where we kind of get more into linked data. You know, can we identify things by URIs so others can link to them? Are we using W3C standards for data retrieval? That's 4 stars. And 5 stars is, are you actually linking to other data sets? And in this case, it might be actual data, but it can also be taxonomies and scores, right? Or thesauries and scores or ontologies. And so if we look at one example of linked data, so this is HMLand registry website. In fact, that's their Sparkle console. So what you can actually do is you can plug the query in and you get the results out. So access to this data is in W3C, you know, compliant form. If we go one step further, well, actually, so if you look at the content that gets back, so that's a URI, right? And that's a URI of a particular transaction. And if you try and hit that URI with your browser, you'll see description of that transaction, right? So you can identify it by unique URI. So that's our star number 4, but also we link to SCOS concepts. So we can actually search by different SCOS concepts as well. In this case, I have to say that that specific schema, if you look at it, it only has two concepts in it, which is, I guess, not much of a thesaurus. But anyway, it's SCOS, it's out there. The two categories are two different types of transactions. So it's either, you know, your normal house purchase or it's buy to let, right? We publish data on the web, structured, W3C compliant way to retrieve it, URIs, and we link. 5 stars. Great. So can we do the same thing for regulatory rule books? Can we publish regulatory rule books in RDF or in some way so we can link to them? We can link to individual elements, but we can also understand what individual parts of the regulation talk about. Short answer is yes, we can. So there's really a variety of standards. There's DC and SPOS that we already talked about. There are some specific ontologies to help you publish legislation. So ELI is European Legal Identifier, and schema.org or other schema.org/legislation is a schema.org effort to effectively replicate ELI. ELI, well, technically speaking, EU Publication Office even published a mapping between ELI and schema.org. So it's basically an equivalent. And there are existing standards as well. DLXS is used by Federal Register in the US. So can we actually come up with a good metric similar to 5-star, right? So what would that metric be? And, you know, me being a developer, this metric should be useful for me to help drive change. If I come to a client, I say, you're doing this, right? Rather, you should be doing something slightly different. And this metric should be useful for me as a developer as well, as in, let's say I'm developing an operational risk system. Can I link a legislation or parts of legislation to bits of internal systems within another organization? So if we try and develop an equivalent of 5-star linked data, let's call it 5-star linked regulatory rule books, right? Some regulators start using the term robo rule books, by the way, which is quite interesting. So we have robo advisors and now we have robo rule books. So we can reuse 5-star ranking, 5-star linked data. We would need to add the axis of granularity, because for me as a developer, that would be important. I want to link to a specific paragraph or even specific, you know, term within a section of the law. So we can use axis as DOM, document, section, paragraph, and subparagraph. So we have kind of five gradations to match 5 stars. And then the semantic richness or axis of semantic richness of terms that we're, concepts rather, that we're going to link to. So maybe there is none, all the terms are in the text, can be glossary, taxonomy, thesaurus, or ontology. And, you know, different regulators, well, some regulators publish thesaurus, some don't, and it's sort of interesting to see who's doing what. So next we're going to look at 3 examples, see how this metric applies, and then, you know, see if it's useful, actually. So let's start with ESMA. So ESMA is European Securities and Markets Authority. So it's an EU agency. The way they publish legislation. So this is MiFID II, or a part of MiFID II rather. So they publish it in Eurolex, and it's a website or a portal maintained by EU Publication Office. And as you can see, this specific legislation actually has a unique URI. Right? So we can refer to it by a specific URI. So it's already kind of 4 stars on the 5-star-linked data. If we actually look at the source, they publish all the metadata. So it's the RDFA. And as you can see, they're actually pointing this specific legislation to, or rather, they're creating a link between this legislation and Eurovoc term. So if we look at this Eurovoc 2098, right, so it's a financial obligation, and, you know, it links further to a score scheme. But effectively, they publish a piece of legislation, they explain what it's about. If I get my machine to read it, I can actually use the same terms within my organization, and I can link the two together, and I can infer the impact. So, for example, if I receive the news that this legislation is changing, have certain links, I can actually infer what's the impact on internal systems. So if we apply this, if we apply the metric that we talked about, 5-star link data, so that's definitely a 5. Semantic richness, well, they link to a thesaurus, which is not bad. Eurovoc is not an ontology, it's a thesaurus, so it would be 4. And granularity of identifiers is actually not great. They don't go down to the level of paragraphs or sections, as some of the US regulations do, or regulators rather do. But I think what's interesting about this picture, you can use it as a conversation. You can say, well, this is where you are now. What you need to move to is, you know, X. There's some semblance to maturity models, I guess, and consultants love maturity models. So I'm a consultant, therefore. Okay, so let's talk about CFTC. CFTC is Commodities and Futures Trading Commission, and it's a U.S. federal agency. We're only going to talk about one part of the publication here, because being a federal agency, a lot of rule books are actually published on the federal level by Office of National Register and also by the Government Publication Office. But there are some documents that they publish internally, and there's slightly different levels of maturity. But anyway, so that's Federal Register, and it's a daily publication by the Office of National Register. And if you look at it, so what happens, actually, all the updates are published there. So it's a daily publication, and then there's an annual sort of amalgamation of all the updates. So in this case, we actually get a very specific URI. The pop-up doesn't quite show, but trust me, each single update has a unique URI. And there's also some schema and API documentation that you can look at. So on the linked data scale, it's actually not really quite 4, because they don't publish it in RDF, but at least they have this unique URI. And then if you go to an annual publication, which is called Electronic Code of Federal Regulations, so published by a slightly different agency, but it's a collaboration between different agencies, what you can actually see is something rather interesting. So if you look at that URI, it has identifier that goes down to, I mean, I know it's unreadable, but just trust me. it's going down to a level of subsection, but interestingly enough, there are no links to any sort of thesaurus, so they don't actually publish the thesaurus, even though, you know, you can easily extract it from the legislation. They have all the definitions there. So if we do this sort of diagram, that's what it looks like. So they're not doing as well as ESMA. Let's look at another example. That's FINRA, and FINRA is a slightly different agency that's in the States. It's a self-regulatory organization, and so what this means is there's no federal-level publication, but rather it's published by the agency itself. So, again, there are sort of glimpses of 5-star linked data, as in each single rule would have a unique URI, but there is nothing else RDF about it, and they don't actually publish concepts separately. Or they don't link to them, and when they publish concepts, it's just a plain page. So there's quite a bit of room for improvement, therefore, this is what their model looks like. And when we talk about using this as an instrument for driving change, obviously you can put all of this together, and you can say, look, you know, ESMA is doing so well, and you're not doing so well. How can we get you from not doing well to doing well? And I think that's it. So it's a rather short talk, but do you have any questions?
Thank you very much, Eugene, and I think that was, gave you a very good overview, particularly of about a way of evaluating different approaches to presenting information online. What kind of practical effect does that have on the user aspect and user retrieval?
So, taking perspective of an engineer, I guess, more than anything, and if I need to build a system where I try and understand the impact of a regulation change on internal systems, the user in this case would actually be the developer. So what's important for developer? Get the data in the way so it's, you know, easy to manipulate with, right? So what this means is different regulators have actually different perspectives on it in terms of who should publish these taxonomies and ontologies and thesauria. But for me, it's important getting specific thesaurus data and then getting it from some authoritative sort of source.
So would that affect then your decision about which regulation you'd look at, or does it just determine how much effort you need to put into processing the information in that regulation in order to make it accessible to your community or your customers?
Yeah, effectively. So I guess what I'm trying to say is right now there's very little in the way of regulatory taxonomies. I mean, mileage varies between regulators, so European regulators do rather well, US not so well. But what's important, getting these in a known format, something like SCOS, making sure that there are unique identifiers of concepts so I can actually use them internally within an organization to tag internal systems, tag internal processes or actors.
Any other questions? Yes.
If I may ask about, given the domain and the fact that some of this may be proprietary, and then you would have a filters, so it's not really linked open data, it's linked data you're talking about. Yeah. So on the Sparkle endpoint level, does anybody apply the publishing data as a service, as a lookup service, with the Sparkle endpoint and templates to filter out access? Did you have this?
Specifically for regulation or just generally?
Yes, for instance, you don't have access. So if you have a community of users and if the data they provide or regulations is within domain and it's limited to a certain kind of users and licenses, then they want obviously to stop it at the point of it's not just free access to that.
Right.
So did you have any experience in this domain, whether they are doing that kind of... So I suspect that European part is very open, and this is why you can see Sparkle endpoint.
Yeah.
But the other ones don't even go into that area. They publish URI, and this is where they stop. If you imagine this, that one day this would work as some kind of lookup service, did anybody in this domain develop anything like this kind of lookup service based on you didn't know?
I don't think so. Not something that I have seen. Right. So I mean, one example. So this UK land registry was skipped all the way down. Right, so I mean, obviously they're publishing transactions. I'll just bring this back up, right? So they're publishing transactions, and it's open data. If you think about regulations are already open data, so anyone can actually pull down, let's say you're really interested in CFTC, right? So you would pull Chapter 17 of Federal Code of Regulation. You can parse it, you can republish it as RDF, you can put it into graph database, something that we've tried, for example, and then yes, you can have absolutely Sparkle endpoints over it. If you want additional security for one reason or another, you can implement the diagram on top of Sparkle or do something slightly custom.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions? Okay, if you'd like to join me in thanking Richard.